Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word, but really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F-word. How about you?
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me. Hi, Mom.
You ready? Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Albert Einstein said, "No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. We must see the world anew." When we apply this quote to our lives, we see that we cannot create abundance by staying in the consciousness of poverty. Nor can we gain a sense of power in our lives while identifying with ourselves as a victim. And whether our intention is to change ourselves or some element of the world around us, we cannot simply wish for transformation or hope that our lives will be altered through circumstance. If our patterns of thought and behavior remain unchanged, our lives will continue to unfold much as they have previously. Making change, managing change, and mastering change is on the agenda of all who expect to remain relevant and relate to this new season in the universe and in time. Wayne Dyer puts it this way: when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone must change. No one stays the same. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold, 'cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. Rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring. Much too soon. Yes, everything must change. Young become the old. Mysteries do unfold. Yes, they do. That's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can. Except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, farmer's ground is plowed, people live and people die, yeah, but still we can revive. We must always try. Seasons come and go. Winter brings fresh snow. Flowers bloom in spring. Little birds always sing. Summer beaches foam. You will never walk alone. Changes, changes, changes. Everything.
matter how hard you resist, no matter how hard you fight, no matter how hard you hold on, guess what? Everything must change. A change gonna come. Changes. It's happening right now. We are moving through it. Some of us are holding on. Some of us are blaming others for the change. Some of us are riding the current. Some of us are like, what the flip happened? Who did this? No matter what, wherever you are, regardless of your point of view, where you're standing and viewing life, everything must change.
Rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and this music makes us thrive. Thank God for this change.
Thank God for this change. I know that's right. If you can just start your day off and saying, thank God for this change. Thank God for this day. Thank God for this moment. That's a prayer. That's a prayer for the day. Because when you give thanks from a place of gratitude, you start your day off with a great attitude. And you plant that seed of greatness. Guess what? Everything will just align. And even when you kind of forget that you planted the seed of greatness, something, somebody, a sign, a billboard, a show, a music, a book, or something will remind you, like, wait a minute, be grateful. You know you're already grateful. You're full of greatness. Thank God for this change. That's Bishop Carlton Pearson, who was here last week, talking about spiritual romance. Yeah, we're bringing spirituality to everything. We're making spirituality sexy. That's right. So you sit down around a Thanksgiving table or reunion or birthday party or anniversary, whatever it is, and you can talk about spirituality. And people can say, interesting. I kind of like how you think. I don't quite agree with it, but, you know, it looks like it's working for you. That's good enough. You don't have to debate who you are. You don't have to fight who you are. You just show up because, you know, they say, what makes you, why are you so confident in your spirituality? You say, I listen to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, and he reminds us to make spirituality sexy. Yes, we got to make it sexy. That's right. Everybody's like, can I get on it? You're already on it. You're already in it. You're a part of it. Now you're aware. Stay alert. Now you that you're awake, it's important to stay alert. Because you can wake up and still be like, I need 5 more minutes. When is the country going to change? I'm awake, but I can't stay alert. We don't have the right government. We don't have the right this, the right that. But now you got to be alert. And to be alert means you get involved. It can be messy. That's why most people don't want to do it. It takes courage. It takes perseverance. Even when it's not pretty or popular, you got to keep going. Spirituality of politics. That's what we're talking about today. As always, we started the show off with Carly Jackson, reminding us that through it all, we are the delight of God. And if we're ever confused, we can just declare and proclaim that I am free. In order to free yourself, to experience your freedom, you have to free yourself from just the intellectual understanding. So you got to free yourself from the dome, from the head thing. Some, you know, people go on a head trip sometimes. But anyway, this is a place to support you in moving from your head to your heart. You have to say, My head, I'll be back in a minute. I need to go on a heart vacation. You know, I'll be right back. I'm going on a holiday. I want to just go hang out with my heart for a minute. And once you start doing the dance with your heart, you're like, I kind of like it here. And your head says, well, be careful. Don't be careful now. You're going to be vulnerable. People are going to take your loveliness and your kindness for weakness. You say, head, this is my vacation with my heart. And then when you learn to trust the heart, you can just marry the two. And then when you marry your head and your heart, you know that's the divine marriage, the masculine and the feminine coming together. You're so in love with yourself, you know that no matter what happens, wherever you are in the country, you are always in love and you are the love. And from that place, you can be the observer of life, an active participant of life. And you can always ask yourself, what do I have to offer? What do I have to give? Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Goddess, for this moment. Yes, let's welcome folks. I went on a heart trip there. Yeah, sometimes we need to go on a heart trip. Head trip is fine. We're used to doing head trips. Let's do a heart trip. What's really true? So from my heart to yours, I welcome you. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. Like never before, I want you to hear that differently. You make a difference. That's right. And you will find out how. You even find out today how you vote every day with your money, with where you go and the things you do. But some people wait every 4 years to say, I ain't voting. It just don't matter who you vote for. Guess what? You've been voting. Wake up. You make a difference. Every thought you're thinking is sending out a vibration into the planet right now. Everything you're feeling is creating a movement. Oh, Lord, when you bring the thinking and the feeling together, that's a birthing of a new idea. Talk about a rebirth. Once again, when the masculine and feminine comes together, the thinking and the feeling come together. Ooh, and you do that from a conscious perspective. Oh, talk about spiritual orgasm. Every day you'd be like, I'm so grateful. You want to take someone out for lunch. You want to hug your loved ones. You want to hold the truth. You want to hold the light. You want to pray. It's like, so much goodness in me. Like, what's wrong with you? I'm having a spiritual orgasm. Like, okay. We like it, but I'm not sure if I can do that. Yes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on Life Conversations Radio. That's right. And for those of you saying, sometimes I don't know how to get back to the station or listen to the show, this is what you do. Real simple. Forget everything you always knew. If you were confused, just delete it right now. Let me just go in there. Hold on. Let me open a folder in your consciousness. I'm double-clicking. Let's see. Let me double-click. Did you hear that? I'm double-clicking now. Okay, good. I found a folder. I found confusion. There you go. Open that. Delete all. Deleted. Now. Let me put a new folder. Let me install something new. To find Life Conversations Radio, all you've got to do is type in your computer, your phone, your mobile device, whatever it is, lifeconversationsradio.com. And you can see all the shows, the past shows, the upcoming shows. It's really simple. lifeconversationsradio.com. And if you don't know, I am your host, Life Coach Ade, and we are here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we play Carly Jackson. I meant to go down the line. But I don't have to trip because there's a voice inside of me that says, wait a minute, you're forgetting something. Thank you. Yeah, Carly Jackson, you can find her on Facebook, Carly, CARLLIE, Jackson, JAXEN. Facebook is where she lives. Well, she doesn't live there. Actually, she lives in New York, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Who else? Yeah, Bishop Carlton. Everything Must Change. His website address is bishoppearson.com to download a copy, a file, an MP3 file of that song to remind you that everything must change. You are changing, and everything changes, period. So you can relax, you can rest, you can trust the process of life. So if you're feeling joyful and on top of the world, well, you may one day start to feel like, what is going on? How did I get in this valley? It's just part of life. It's the season. It's the season. Just embrace it all. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's just the best thing that could ever happen. But it's all God refining and refining and revolving and evolving and just doing what God does. You just be the place where God gets to say, watch me now. Yes. This is the month, October. We're focusing on living the vision for your life. Of course, this is the last few days of October. So we're wrapping up living the vision for your life. Today we're talking about spiritual politics, if you didn't know. And some of you said, how does that go together, spirituality and politics? Yes. Well, when you leave spirituality out of it, you get some of the things we've been getting. Now we're moving into that. So we're visionaries. Monique is here saying, I'm ready, I'm excited, bring me on, Adam, bring me on. I want to help people open their American heart. Let's connect from a heart to heart, from heart to heart level. I know, that's right. And November, our new theme, well, not new theme, but the theme for November, should I say, is the gifts of gratitude, the gifts of gratitude. And what does that mean? It means so many things. You have a gift. And when you share your gift, the world will be grateful. You will be grateful. You will have reason to be grateful because you're now giving your gift to the world. And you can also give a gift of gratitude to somebody. Just, you know, let me take you out to lunch. Yes, I want to give you some money. I want to pay your car note this month. I want to just come out and hang out with you. I want to invite you for dinner. Let's go for a walk. Yes, we'll talk more about that in November. Actually, we're going to talk about that, November. What else can I tell you? Let me run through all these other announcements, and we get ready to bring on Monique, who I'm so excited to have a conversation with. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad for your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears. Call in now, 347-426-3346. Operators are standing by. No, spirit beings are standing by. And press 1 on your keypad. Okay, calm down. No, really, bring everything, because this is a house of love. We're here to support your transformation. That's the intention. Our intention is to support you on your transformational journey. If you don't want to call in, you're afraid. Don't say that. Okay, you're afraid. Let me just leave it at that. You can post your questions, thoughts, ideas on the Ask Life Coach at a fan page, Ask Life Coach at a like page, and we'll get to it. But if you don't do Facebook, don't want the whole world to know your business, then you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. And when you hover over Life Conversations Radio, there's a drop menu. It says, Ask Life Coach Ade. He knows everything, and he's here to help you. Click on that tab and fill in the email. It's Monday. It's a time to feel the fun of life and feel free so we can go and grow with the flow. And of course, 1 o'clock, around one, we have Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And what else? Tomorrow, I'm going solo, and then Celeste is going to be joining me as well, dropping some nuggets about Halloween and from looking at it from, you know, Celeste does her thing. Maybe she'll tell us a little bit about what she's going to do tomorrow, later on. And Wednesday, we have Ancestral Blueprints with my co-host, Lisa Iverson. Ancestral Blueprint with Lisa Iverson, talking about gifts of gratitude, the importance of delivering your gift on this planet. If you're delivering your gift, you become part of the solution rather than the antagonizer on Facebook. Did I just say that? I did. All the shows are archived on iTunes. Just type in Life Conversations. And subscribe, and the shows will be downloaded. For those of you who haven't subscribed yet, all the shows are archived, and they're usually ready for download around 10 minutes after the show. And one other thing I need to tell you, on Friday, the Ask Life Coach at a radio show syndicated, so you can listen on, what's this radio station, the other radio station called? Within Radio. I had to go Within to remember. Within Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern. And to find out more, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Almost time to bring on my wonderful guest. I'm so happy, so grateful. But I just really want to take this moment to surround every and anyone going through a challenge right now, a transition, knowing that right where you are, God is. That even in the midst of trauma, transition, grief, pain, Hurricane Sandy, and those of us who are going through our personal hurricanes and the world doesn't know about it, I want to remind you that through it all, God is there, trust the process. We're holding you in the light, seeing the highest and the best. I want to send out a special prayer to my friend, Kim Kennedy, whose brother made his transition a few days ago, Fletcher Rainey, we're going to miss you. Fletcher's a healing angel. He has a way of waking something up in you. He helps you see yourself, and he helps you shine. He helps you release, and he's released his body, and now he's floating in the universe, still helping people recognize who they are. And Kim and family members, I send you lots of love, and we're praying for the country, you know. We're praying for the rest of the world. We're praying for each and every one of us that we remember who and what we are, because we are truly here to make a difference. We're here to make a difference, a positive difference. Ultimately, really what it comes down to is that you recognize who you are in spite of circumstances. In spite of circumstances. No matter what is going on, that you leave this planet, that you experience this planet, recognize your godness, your goodness. That you are joy, you are compassion, that you show up as healing, that you are the place where God gets to say, ooh, I am real, I exist. That God, somebody gets to experience God because you said yes to life. All is well, so much is happening, we just join hands energetically and hold each other. And it's time now to bring on my wonderful guest. But before I do that, I want to remind us all about a little something. Carly Jackson, please remind us, because we want to talk about the spirituality of politics. And sometimes we forget. We forget who and what we are while we're here. And here's a quick reminder, and then after this, we'll bring on Monique. So just take a breath. Understand that everything we're doing right now is all part of the spirituality of politics. Because if you're not grounded, you will get tossed in the wind by all the other stuff going on. Carly Jackson, where are you? Let's see. Let's go. No, I won't play that one. I'll play this one. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. There is no separation. 'Cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
There is no separation. We are one. We are one, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Ooh, Lord, that's my mad scientist now. There's nothing you can do about it. You're one with Mitt Romney. You're one with Barack Obama. Guess what? You're one with Sarah Palin, and we're one with all the other people who did some evil thing. Yes. Now, they chose different paths how to express their divinity, but I'm sure they've refined it now. They've learned a lesson, and somebody is here today to remind us of how we can all support each other to open our American heart, to be part of the difference, to be part of the changes happening, to make a difference. She's an author, an activist, a life coach, and a mother, Monique Ruffin. She has dedicated her life to living and teaching that we will change the world with a spiritual approach to all of life's experiences. Raised in Los Angeles by her grandmother, Ruffin was the child of drug-addicted, often imprisoned parents. This challenge, along with her grandmother's life-saving love and guidance, serve as her activism's foundation and inspiration. Ruffin received her BA in political science from Howard University and a master's degree in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. Today she coaches, writes, and spends lots of time with her son. Check this out. Her mission is to assist in creating a world where the secular serve the sacredness and well-being of all humanity. Why? I'm adding that onto it. Because she knows that we are one. That we are all in this together. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my guest, my friend, my sister, myself, Monique Ruffin. Hello, Monique. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I am wonderful. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here. I'm very excited. It's my favorite conversation.
Indeed. I understand. I am with you. I am with you. And I really want to say, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you for reaching out a long time ago, sharing your blog with me. And as I said to you when we talked, it's like that blog I read, I was like, wow. And I've gone through the last few months and just looking at what's happening in the political climate and what how people are treating each other, unfriending each other, getting crazy, getting really nasty. And every time I think there's got to be a better way, and I will hear Monique Ruffin. Monique Ruffin. And, you know, because I love the approach that you bring in. And part of my inner reflection was, how do we bring God? How do we bring spirituality? How do we bring the conversation of love, understanding, oneness, and possibility to politics? because it used to just blow me away, the people on Facebook who can talk about life is good and we are one and angels and spirit and God and this and goddess and psychics, and they come together and dance together. But the minute you introduce politics, I'm unfriending you. I used to like you. It's like, what happened? What happened? And I'm just looking forward to us breaking it down and really supporting each other to look at life from a different perspective. But before we do that, there's so much there's so much that I'm feeling, and I'm sure you have some full information and things that you want to share with us. But I want to ask you this question because it's very important. I read a little bit about you. You're an author, and as I said, listeners, she's the author of Open Your American Heart, From Personal Responsibility to Collective Accountability. So I want to ask you this, Monique. Who are you? Who is Monique Ruffin?
Who am I? Well, that's a question that I ask myself often, because really it's ever-changing. Like, who I am today is not who I was yesterday. And when I think about who I am today in comparison to where I started from, I don't even recognize myself. So ultimately, at my core, I am an expression of God's divinity. Like, I am made in the image and likeness of God, and that is unchanging. That is the aspect of me that is unchanging. And then there are these experiences that I live through and create in my own life that evolve me into so many things. I'm a woman, and I'm also an African American woman. I am a mother, and I'm a friend, and a sister, and a lover, and a goddess, and so many things. I'm everything, I'm everything. And so, and that looks different ways on different days.
No, that's right. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, come on now, what's really going on here?
Yes, it is.
And some days it's like, bring it on. Now let's talk about just this whole thing about spirituality of politics. And this is a topic that we came up with. And before we talk about some of the conversation you brought up in your book, and it probably will lead to it. Let me go back to the beginning. How did you get involved in politics? Because this is a topic that people can run away from it. Most people do, especially spiritual folks. Spiritual folks think, I don't need to get involved in that. And your book is filled with principles and truth. How did it all start for you?
Well, I was raised in a politically active family is really how it started. I was, I grew up in the 70s after the Civil Rights Movement, and I was raised by my grandmother and her sisters who were active in the Civil Rights Movement. So, Martin Luther King was the equivalent of Jesus Christ in my household. So I heard his name constantly, and I had a lot of uncles who supported, Black Panther movement and Martin Luther King and Islam, and not Martin Luther King, but Malcolm X and Islam. And so those conversations were regular in my home when I was a very small girl. So I just sort of was groomed in that way to understand that, Martin Luther King had done this really great thing with the Civil Rights Movement, and because of the work that he had done, Black people could go to school in integrated environments, and we could vote, and we had marched, and we had striked. Like, so I understood the impact that Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement had had in our political lives, and that was a regular conversation in my house. We also... in my home when I was a teenager, the voting booth was in my home. So I, every year or, several times a year when we would vote, I would wake up in the morning time, and I wasn't voting yet, but I was getting ready for school, and there would be a line filed out my door to the downstairs area where people were coming and standing in line so they can vote. And
in your house?
The voting booth in my house.
Really? I didn't know they did that. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So I don't know that they're doing it anymore, but it was when I was
younger.
Oh, no. Yeah. So but it was lots of, that was just how active my aunt was, you know, so that was where the elections, the voting took place in our house. And so I just, even, and I wasn't really involved in that, but it was going on in my environment. So I was aware of it. And when I cast my first ballot at 18, my aunt, you know, sat down with me with my sample ballot, and she made sure, she said, I want to make sure you don't cancel out any of my votes. So this is how you need to vote.
Wow.
I just grew up in an environment where politics was really important, but spirituality was equally as important because my grandfather was a minister. So I was in a conversation in politics in my home, and then I was in church all the time. So that's how it worked for me. That was my life. There were other things going on that were pretty different, you know, chaotic with, you know, my parents on drugs and stuff like that. But I also understood that I had power there. So, yeah, that's how I got involved in politics.
Wow, interesting. As you talk, I think of the thing that was written by Dorothy Nolte, Children Learn What They Live. You know, it's like it was all around you and your father being a minister, and now you've written a book that talks about the spirituality and just, you know, really open our hearts and politics. So who knows, did politics choose you? Did you choose it? It was all part of a master plan.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And my great grandfather was a minister, not my father.
Great grandfather. Okay, okay.
Yes, okay, yes.
Got it. Wow. Well, so let's fast forward to now, and as I said at the beginning of the show, the climate of what we're experiencing when we talk about politics. You've just written a book called Open Your American Heart. What was the catalyst for that, and what's the point you're trying to bring home?
So the catalyst for Open Your American Heart for me was I had sort of an aha moment the day that Sarah Palin was introduced to America. And I realized, I was watching her. So this is what happened. There was the Democratic National Convention in 2008. President Barack Obama received the nomination, and there was the America was, America's heart was open. We were excited. There was this sacred feeling in the air. You know, a black man had just received the first nomination to be president of the United States by the Democratic Party, and everyone was uplifted. And this was a Friday evening. I don't know if anyone remembers this. It was Friday, and the next week was going to be the Republican convention. We heard, you know, they talked about it Friday evening. Saturday morning, it was done. Sarah Palin had been introduced as the vice president, the vice president elect, and it just killed everything that had happened the day before. Like, it was almost as if, you know, so you have this this woman, she's a white woman, and she is, you know, she was like the antidote to President Barack Obama. And it freaked me out. It really freaked me out. And so I was in the shower, and I was at home with a baby. So now it's November. My son had been born in February. And so I had an infant at home. And I'm in the shower, and I'm praying, okay, God, what to do? What to do? And my heart said, start a prayer call. Just start a prayer call and invite people to come and pray. Let's pray for the highest and best to be the outcome, the highest and best outcome that is available. And so I did. So the next day I started a prayer call, and it started, I would advertise it on BarackObama.com or whatever it was at the time, and people started calling in every morning at 7 a.m., and people would just call, and we would pray, we would talk for a few minutes. I would talk about some sort of inspiration, and then we'd pray, and we did that we're do like I did it this morning. We've been doing it every day since that day, except for on the weekend. So since September, that was the impetus for the book, because people kept saying, well, why don't you write a book so we can get to your information, and if we can't get a call. So that's how it started.
So this prayer call, so what would you say to people saying, what's prayer going to do? How's prayer going to change anything? What conviction did you have to let you know that prayer can change and does change things?
Well, for me, my life is about prayer, and that was one of the other things I learned in my house growing up, is that you take everything into prayer. And as I study with Reverend Michael Beckwith, or Dr. Michael Beckwith at Agape, and my experience of prayer has evolved, because what I understand about prayer is that it's not about changing God, but it's about changing the mind and the heart of the prayer, or the person who's speaking the prayer. So with that, I moved into prayer about this political event that we were having, and invited other people to come, because really at the core, what we want to do is change the citizenry of this nation. We want to open our minds and hearts, and that is what the prayer does. It opens our minds and hearts to the possibility of recognizing our connection, recognizing our oneness, recognizing that we are more than these four-year battles that we have, and that we are participating in a way that is beyond going into a voting booth. And my prayers are for people to awaken to what is really occurring inside of them, so that they can then bring their energy, their efforts, their ideas to the collective experience of politics.
A new way of being, huh?
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Monique Ruffin. She's the author of Open Your American Heart, From Personal Responsibility to Collective Accountability. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. You can also share your thoughts, your comments on the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, or fan page, and on the radio show too, on the fan page, or like page, or you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations radio menu, and then click the Ask Life Coach at a, and we'll be happy to address your thoughts, your questions. Monique, in your book, when I look at the table of content, you got all these beautiful things that just light my fire, literally. You got vision, hope, inclusion, service, love. And you know, there are people who say spirituality does not belong in politics. And I guess I want to ask you this, because the things you're talking about is how we blend the two. And there's spiritual people who feel like they just can't do politics. They don't need to get involved because it represents everything they're trying to get away from. And if they get involved in politics, it's going to affect their divinity and their light. So they stay away from it. What would you say to them?
I'll say, that's funny.
I know, that's right.
You know, you can't just the way, you know. So attempting to escape politics is like trying not to breathe. You cannot. You cannot. Even if you don't vote, you are still participating in this system. It is political at the very nature of it. You know, I have my brothers at Jehovah's Witnesses, and they don't vote. And that's great that they choose not to vote. That's fine. Even that's a political statement. You know, them not voting is a political statement. But they are, politics is everywhere. It's everything that we do. It's the reason, it's how we navigate locally in our education system, that there's a political system that goes on there. It is, local government is politics. Which communities get money for libraries, parks, road repairs. You know, we have this storm going on the East Coast now, Sandy. All of that is politics. How President Barack Obama has just you know, named it a national disaster already before it's happened, and that means that federal funds will be given to that part of the nation. That is political. And all of those people who might lose their homes or lose whatever, they will then be the resources will be created for them to get money to help them rebuild. That is politics. I mean, it is all politics. You cannot escape the political system. We live in it. We breathe it. Our food, the food, and how, you know, you in California right now, we're having this labeling battle going on, whether GMOs should be labeled. So when you're in the grocery store shopping, if you know if something is genetically modified or not, is a political conversation. It's all politics. You cannot get away from it.
Yes, yes. It reminds me of an author that in England, Benjamin Zephaniah, he always says, if you don't do politics, politics will do you. You know,
yeah.
It's like you can't say you don't do it. Either way, you're either going to do it or you're going to do you, and because it's all part of life. Now, when you and I were talking, you shared something that really just shined a light. I was like, wow, I never thought of it that way. And you start to talk about the whole thing about policy and how we vote every day through what we buy, and you know,
right.
You even talked about the experience. Can you talk about the experience during the Gulf, the spill, the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, and you know, things that people don't always think about.
Yeah,
remember that conversation we had? Yeah,
yeah,
please, and
absolutely.
How quickly the whole thing about how we vote, just because I think if we understand that every day, as you said, when we go shopping, that we're voting, it would help us to start thinking differently.
Right. So, you know, 2 years ago there was a huge spill in the Gulf of Mexico, and the oil company that was responsible for that, BP Oil, is for in Los Angeles, their gas stations, I think they're changing now, but their gas stations are called ARCO. So they had this devastating incident happened in the Gulf of Mexico, and how we, you know, for me, what I decided to do was be mindful of supporting them. How am I supporting them? Now, energy is a big deal in our nation, and who owns energy owns our lives. Really, they do. And oil is a conversation that has been going on for generations, and, you know, and electric cars and all those sort of things. So really, if people want to start supporting our planet, it's about understanding how we're spending our money on gas and oil and the resources that we're using. So resources that we are taking from the earth to basically fuel our lives. And when this happened, I was asking myself, well, what can I do? So a simple thing that I did was I just stopped buying gas from ARCO. Now, ARCO's gas is usually less expensive than some of their competitors like Chevron or Shell or, you know, there's so many of them. But they usually have their prices really low. And so I had to really decide if it was worth it. But I made a choice to spend a little bit more money. And then also to try to drive less, like, which is a difficult thing in Los Angeles because we don't have a great transit system. But, you know, at the time, I would try and ride my bike more, and I dare not get on the bus. I have not I've not made that kind of commitment yet.
Transition yet.
For my own reasons. Just because I have a kid and I'm driving him around a lot of my time, and L.A. is not a city like maybe New York or Atlanta, where you can get places really quickly or use a taxi or something like that. You need a car here. But it was, I just started asking myself, well, so if I'm going to participate, like how do I participate consciously? How do I understand that my dollars, if I spend my dollars at ARCO, that contributes to BP, and BP is responsible for this oil spill? So I just decided to not stop shopping at ARCO, and it was as simple as that. But we can do that in a multitude of ways by just understanding the companies that we give our money to most often. Who are these companies, and what types of policies do they have? How do they treat their employees? How do they treat the earth? How, you know, how are they producing their products? Really understanding. And I have done a lot of that in my life. And so I have, you know, I do my best to eat organic foods and companies that don't do animal testing. And there's so many ways for us to really begin to vote with our dollars to support the well-being of people and the well-being of our planet, and to nudge our policies towards health and well-being just by how we're spending our money.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Indeed. Now, I want to ask you, you know, because one of the things for me, when I watched the debates, I mean, the last few ones was just kind of, it was really painful to watch. It was really painful for me. It's like, oh, my God, I send you an inbox. Like, it's just painful because it's like I'm looking at political leaders having it's like a political boxing match,
yeah.
A fight.
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
Why? And then we then decide, to decide that who won the debate. And for me,
right.
Just like, what? It's about who won, where there's a mother still suffering, there's a mother struggling to feed her children, there are vets who are homeless, there are people who are homeless, there are people who are hooked on drugs, and we're deciding who won the debate. How is that going to move the country along? And it was really painful. I felt like there was a playing to what people expect. It was almost like a performance, you know. That's just my personal experience, and it could be different from other people. But when I listen to the conversation, sometimes I'm hearing the words, but it doesn't mean anything to me. So as I'm listening to what you're saying and how we vote with our dollars. Now, the people who are busy, some of us are we just don't have that kind of time to research this. What would you say? What is the best way for us to start to educate ourselves? Where yes, we would need to change the way we do life, if you will. But what's a simple approach we can start to do to really look at this thing called politics differently and be part of the change?
Okay, so a couple of things. So one of the things that you hear in this recent political debate is this conversation about big government and small government. The Republicans say they promote small government, which means less regulation often for companies.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a company like BP, we'll use that as an example since we were there already, and under George Bush, the people who were out regulating the safety of these sites, these oil sites, they hadn't hired a lot of people. They hadn't been doing the regulation, which would be able, they would go in and say, you're not meeting these safety things, and so you're in danger of having an oil spill. So when you have small government, you don't have government regulators out making sure that things are safe. Now, the advantage of that is that you get to do things without spending money on safety. So BP is making money over hand and foot, but yet they knew that they were in danger of a spill for many, many years. Like, the records have come out to prove, or they might still be under investigation, but that there had been some threat of an explosion for a while, but the regulators weren't in place. So understanding, you know, and I don't know who's right or wrong on this always, but I do know that if I am a person living my life every day and I have children and I have a job and I have a spouse, you know, or I have health concerns, I don't have time to regulate myself. I don't have time to go do the research on these companies to make sure that they are doing what's good for the environment and good for the people and all those sorts of things. But what big government, you know, what the Democrats, what they said, they promote big government, but it's not even about big government. It's about government that really does work. And it is government's responsibility to make sure that the people are safe, because it's government for the people and by the people. Corporations are not people, even though they have recently been said, the Supreme Court has said that they are people, but they are not people, because corporations really are only about making profit. So we need a government that protects the people, because corporations are only concerned with their profits and not concerned with people and the well-being of people. So when we have government that has regulators that are fully stocked and, you know, fully employed, that are doing their job, we can foresee events like the BP oil spill and stop them before they occur. And that happens in every industry. That happens in the food industry. That happens in education. That happens in healthcare. The things are being regulated for the safety and the well-being of the people. Republicans are more about business and not about people or the well-being of the people. So they tend to cater towards wealth building and, you know, to each his own. I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong. The question is, how do we come to the middle so that both things can operate? And that is a daily dance. That's a daily dance. And that's why we need to participate.
So speaking of participation, what about people saying, well, Monique, I hear you, but it really doesn't matter. Republican, Democrat, the Green Party, or whatever, they're all the same. There's a system, and it has its own agenda, and it doesn't care about the people, so I'm not voting.
Well, then I would say the reason that it continues to exist that way is because you don't vote. Maybe.
Next, right?
Right, you know, so you are the reason why the system doesn't change if you don't vote or understand your own power and your own ability to make a difference, if you don't realize that you are a powerful presence even as one human being. Because here's the deal, if you weren't so powerful, like, you wouldn't see all of these ads and things happening right now to get you to vote a certain way and to get you to participate a certain way. It is because you have so much power in this vote thing that we do every 4 years, and then on the state and on local level we do it, you know, sometimes a couple of times a year. But it is because you are so powerful that you are pandered to for this short amount of time just for your vote, because that will make a difference in the political experience. But when you don't vote, when you say it's not going to change, and when you don't add your energy to it, then I say you're right. You're right.
I mean, I was just thinking what you just said. That is a different way of looking at those commercials and the kind of the money that's pumped into politics and campaign, and they're traveling from state to state. Is what you just said. If we start looking and saying what they're doing is because they're trying to reach us, they know how powerful, they know they need us, I think maybe that can help people start thinking differently about their participation. And I've never quite thought of it that way, you know. I mean, you just look at those ads. I try not to even look at the ads. It's like, I can't even remember. I've seen some, but I just change the station when the television is on. But it's a whole new way of looking at things. And your book, you know, really what you're talking about is that personal responsibility to collective accountability. And if we don't recognize our own personal responsibility and the role in this big government, small government, or this thing called life, then we are less disillusioned. We're feeling like nothing's ever going to change. So not only do the leaders need to change, we need to wake up. We need to really ask ourselves what is important. So rather than make excuses, when we ask ourselves what is important, we can, and answers will come up with, we can allow that to move us forward. And it's a tough choice sometimes. As you talked about the gas company, you know, some people, I know there's a gas company over here, station over here, Quick Trip. You know, people go there because it's usually cheaper.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how that happens, but sometimes we may get on Facebook and Twitter and all the social media and talk about this gas company is doing this, blah, 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 and then we realize they're supplying the gas stations we go to sell the cheapest, but do we say we ain't going there anymore? Be like, you know, I ain't got no money. You know, I'm just trying to take care of my own. So right there, we're already voting for the things that we say we engaged. We're actually supporting what we say we engage. So it's a new way of doing politics, a new way of living. And I want to talk more about really what is the vision for the perfect party or perfect politics, if you will, and what we can do. And even part of the, I mean, sometimes I find it interesting that people are still undecided. It's like, what's the problem? But, you know, actually sitting here, I have a better understanding why people are undecided. Maybe they really want to make sure that they make the right choice. Because as I listen to you, you're expanding my awareness. And the intention for doing this show really is to bring a positive, to bring consciousness into this conversation.
Right.
This politics. There are people doing it, Marion Williamson, and there are different things going on. But for me, I see too much toxic conversation, too much judging and criticizing and name-calling, that it doesn't help us. So I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about how we can really be part of what you're talking about, taking personal responsibility for collective accountability. Now, I have a great idea for you.
Yeah.
So your website address, listeners, her website address is Monique Ruffin, that's RUFFIN.com. I got that right, Monique Ruffin. Now, you're a blogger with Huffington Post.
I am.
I think you should have a website called Ruffington.com. You know, you're already blogging for Huffington, so it makes sense to just have a Ruffington.com. But anyway.
I love that. I'm going to put you on that one.
Yeah, go register right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We're having a conversation. We're shifting the conversation. We're shifting consciousness. Today's topic, the spirituality of politics, how to bring spirituality, your essence, how to bring love, how to bring compassion, how to bring understanding, service, and having a vision for yourself, for your children, for your country. It can be done. If you're willing, let's do it. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep. There was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo! Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work. and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Peace. The dynamic of harmonizing good. Allow it to flow through your soul because inside it will make you whole. I'm talking about you being you. Because no one else can set you free but you.
I'm putting gas in my car. I'm thinking about the war in Iraq. The air we breathe in is toxic and there's way more than that. The situation's international. Matter of fact, it's intergalactic. But don't make me get into that. Don't see how some be sleeping on the streets while others they be living a life that's so sweet. I envision a world where everyone's needs will meet. Living off the earth in harmony and peace.
The only reason some still be packing heat
is because their lives is so incomplete. We were all born perfect with everything we need to be free. If something happened, man, we stopped believing all we could be. Let's remember we're a part of nature. Expressing love is what we're made for. Deep in your heart, the answer's not far. Let's come together now and play our part. It's all like what you see. And the pain's just too much to believe. Say, I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change, it's all in me. One world in harmony. One world, one family. I ain't waiting on nobody. Cause I'ma be the change, it's all hurricanes, tsunamis, wars and famines. Between religions, misunderstandings. Many different people with the same passions. Just disconnected from our cause and our actions. It's time we recognize the law of attraction. And see we receiving exactly what we asking. Am I focused on lack and limitations? Fear and separation. And I'm open to a new conversation. I'm talking about the love vibration. Everybody wants unification. A change is moving across the nation. Yeah, we choose courage and real communication. It's cause we know there's no time for wasting. The state of this world is our creation. Let's take a good look around this place. Yo, turn off your TV now, it's time to face this reality. Yo, this is the real show. The human race, we've been so disgraceful. We say we want peace, yet we're so wasteful. Killing all the life on earth to take up space for what? Yeah, we all want the same thing, but more stuff, happiness that won't bring. Yeah, we all know that we get what we give. Time's up now, how we gonna live? If you don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe, say I can feel it calling me, I'ma be the change, it's all in me, one world in harmony.
One world in harmony.
I ain't waiting on nobody, cause I'ma be the change,
be the change. It's all in me. Ha, Gina Renee. You can find her on Facebook. Gina Renee. Are you willing, ready to be the change? It's all in you, you know. Stop blaming Barack Obama. Stop blaming Mitt Romney. You can do something. Be the change you want to see. Yes, we're having a conversation. We don't always talk about politics. We do. Many, I don't know, 2 years ago, we used to have a lot of conversation about politics. But Jesus, it was so exhausting. It was just too much. So I said, let's do something different. But we're dealing with it now from a different perspective. I mean, a continuation and just really supporting us to create the world we want to see and stop waiting on others to create what we want. If you wait on others to support you in creating what you want, they might misinterpret what you're asking for, but only you know what you want. So you got to be part of the change. It's all in you. Be part of drawing up the blueprint. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show on Life Conversations Radio. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And make sure you press one on your keypad. My guest is Monique Ruffin. She is the author of Open Your American Heart and Let Go of That Head. Just stop going on a head trip. Just relax. What's your personal responsibility? You can't be responsible for what you want, what you're asking for. Just shut it up. That's what I said. She didn't say that. I take responsibility for what I'm saying. But right now, we have Celestial Moment, and we're going to continue conversation after Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and she's going to weave it together. Oh, my God. I'm waiting to see how she weaves this thing in so we can experience the infinity of greatness. Like, how you going to flip infinity and see what you can give to us today when we talk about spirituality and politics with Celestial Moment? Does it even go together? I don't know. Hey, Celeste.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Hello, Monique. Hello, Life Coach today. Mother Earth is flipping it for all of us today, and they do go together. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love this conversation. Monique, I live in outside Washington, D.C., so where I live is hot talking about this.
Yeah.
And I have managed not to get into too many fights. I'm not going to say I avoided all of them, but I've been prepared for your conversation because I'm just tired of being tight in my neck or biting my tongue. And so I appreciate you stepping up and doing this work. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, so I am going to, and hello to everybody on the phone lines and everybody in the chat room. And if you are in the wake of Sandy, just take care of yourselves and be smart. Stay in if you can. Just stay in because I hear the winds howl. So I'm going to get to it so we can continue on with this spirituality of politics. It can be done. Absolutely. So,
yes.
Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. We are experiencing a full moon in Taurus today. It's also known as the Harvest Moon or the Hunter's Moon. This is a powerful time to reflect about any intentions you set during the new moon and to set new intentions to release whatever is not working in your life. To utilize this energy, I recommend that you follow the qualities of Taurus, which is sensuous, slow, steady, and all things beautiful since it's ruled by Venus. We connect with ourselves as we get rooted to the earth. Now, 8 is the number running today. And if you happen to be celebrating a birthday, this would be your lesson card for the whole year. 8 also has some powerful gifts to offer us during this full moon time. It's the number of infinity, endlessness, material and spiritual balance, as well as manifestation. The 8th letter of the alphabet is H, and words like holy, heart, and hospitable connect us to the divine energy of 8. 8 also expresses in tarot as the justice card or the strength card, depending on your deck. And in the Sacred Circle tarot deck, 8 makes an appearance as a female warrior. 8 also is the otter in the medicine cards, and this animal has the gift of woman medicine, unconditional love and full action. No need to fight over resources, for we know there is enough for all of us. This medicine is the power of sisterhood, which can move a whole community or nation when we come together in service for and with each other. Now today, for a special treat and celebration of all this earth energy that's running, we are going to put the spotlight on the 8 of discs from the perspective of Mother Peace Tarot. It's time to ground ourselves with an affirmation for more manifestation of security and peace. I have a deep yearning to fulfill my destiny. She calls to me like a lover. She calls me home. I am committed to the path. My struggle is your struggle. My home is your home. We are in it together. The goddess chooses me. Now, the 8 of discs is known as the path card or the card of the craft. On my card, we have Native American women, each tending to their own creations and yet working together toward a common goal. Their work has meaning because it is fused with spirit. As they work to make pots or weave or beads, they know that it is more than for their personal satisfaction. They create as an offering to the Great Mother. It's a spiritual undertaking, moving from the ego to the soul. We may also embody this energy when we create space to do our own individual work and then share our gifts and talents in community. The world can be a gentle place when we take time to focus on our unique crafts while considering our brothers and sisters. We turn our attention on what we most want and powerfully direct our energy toward manifesting good in this world. We are not draining ourselves by pushing against illusions. We are evolving into the change we want to see when we offer our gifts and talents in the act of creation. All is well. And that's the story of eight through the eight of this of Mother Peace Tarot. I'll see you around one for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Spider Woman.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. It's about all of us giving our gift, contributing, taking personal responsibility. Thank you, my sister, for doing your work. I am so grateful for you. Thank you, Celeste.
My pleasure.
And the song that you're hearing right now, this is called Grace by Destiny Mohammed. Destiny Harpist from the Hood. Great. Yes, yes, yes. We're talking spirituality of politics. Some people are afraid of that word. They start like, oh my God, we need an intervention. But you know, if you don't do politics, politics will do you. Number 347-426-3346. We've got some questions emailed here. And I think, let me ask one of the questions before we even talk about the what I call the perfect politics or the perfect political party, what that looks like. And this is another question that came up for me, but it was email, so I'm going to just ask you. The question is, how much you encourage young people to get involved in the process of politics?
How much or how do you?
Now, how would you encourage them? Yeah, how do we get them involved? Because, you know, they're probably most of the time around parents and adults who are complaining and fussing. You know, I don't think any young people will be interested in that. So how do we encourage them to get involved?
Well, I would, you know, simple things, like discuss the issues with them. Like, just have conversations. So right now, for instance, there's a big conversation going on about women's rights to choose and women having autonomy over their bodies. Like, these are conversations, if you have teenage daughters and sons, you can begin to have those conversations with them and really don't tell them what to think, but ask them what they think. How do you feel? Really, you know, and the truth of the matter is that depending on what grades they're in, they're probably having these discussions in school. I coach teenage girls, and the girls that I am working with, these conversations are happening in their classrooms already. So they're involved in the conversations probably, whether you know it or not. And if you're, you know, an active, involved parent, you know that they are having these conversations at school, and they're having these conversations with their friends. They're talking about Barack Obama and Mitt Romney and all of that. But my suggestion is that you just engage them in the dialogue and share your opinion, but give them the space to have their own opinions and not to take on your thoughts. Like, let them have their own thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a hot topic question that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Email question.
Mm-hmm.
Says, what are your thoughts about the polarization via race in this political process? Take a
know,
breath, everybody.
Oh,
let me drink some water.
Yeah. You know, I see, you know, this is America, and America was built on a divisive system of oppression. That is what this nation was born out of. That is the everyday human experience of it. And we have evolved. We are not, I am not in physical chains every day anymore. I'm not, you know, picking cotton. So we are not where we were 400 years ago. And then some would debate that to say that we are still very much enslaved on some level. I have a couple of things going on. So I feel like the things that are going on between blacks and white, black people and white people it is alarming for me on some level, but I believe that we haven't been willing to do the hard work. We haven't been willing in 100 years, 200 years, we haven't been willing to have the honest conversations and do the work to heal our hearts. We have deep-seated disappointments. We have rage. We have anger. They have fear. We have fear, and none of it has been addressed. Even with the first black president, it still hasn't been addressed. And then there are those who are saying that it's obsolete now. Well, the truth of the matter is that since President Barack Obama has been elected, guns are being purchased at alarming rates. And the division between races on some level is growing. And it's because we haven't dealt with this in a mature level. Now, spiritually, that's how I feel about it on the human level, because I am a human being. Spiritually, I understand that nothing is wrong, that it is exactly how it's supposed to be. Now, I don't know where our human choices are going to take us, but I do know that we are not ever separate from the love of God. No matter what is going on, we are not ever separate from the love of God. And what I trust is that I am okay no matter what. No matter who's elected, no matter if President Barack Obama is reelected or Mitt Romney is elected, that is the answer to my prayer, because I am a deeply prayerful spiritual person. And what I know is that we're getting exactly what we need for our evolution. There is no mistake happening here. It cannot be. And so I believe that it is all for my highest, best, and good. And I am not, I do my best to work on my resistance to it, because I do have resistance. But I do my best with my prayer, my work. I do yoga. Like, in the last several years, I have cleaned out my life. On a lot of it, I stopped drinking alcohol. I stopped eating processed foods. And I did this stuff so that I could really hear my inner voice, because I had so many contaminants and toxins running through me. And I can't get rid of them all because I live on this planet. But I needed to be able to hear the direction of my soul, because I'm a part of the evolution of this planet. And if I can't hear, most of us can't hear. Most of us cannot hear what our hearts are telling us to do, because we are so busy with work and trying to make money and taking care of other people and not taking care of ourselves. We are eating foods that clog us and that keep us high and not able to feel our feelings. So I am in the my work is to clear out so that I can be a part of the solution that is race-driven, the solution that is human, that is female, the solution that really just leads to a greater experience of love.
Go ahead.
It's a commitment. It is a commitment. It is a daily practice.
That is the personal responsibility part, right? So that when we take care, when we do what we need to do, we're in a better place to open our heart, and we can hear our heart to be part of the collective accountability. You know, such a great distinction you made there, that whole thing about really saying, you know, no matter who is in office in January 2013, I am going to be okay. It is for my highest good. Now, there are a lot of people that don't say it like that. There are some people who are saying if President Barack Obama is reelected, this country is going to hell in a handbasket. And people are saying if Mitt Romney is elected, oh, my God, this country is going down or going to hell in a handbasket. But it's really individually we have to do our work, and then know through the work, the process of really doing our spiritual work, that no matter who is in office, we are going to be all right. And it's, you know, and I think that's part of the fear. People, they put their hopes in the hands of somebody else, in the hands of somebody else, and political leaders, their job, their managers, supervisors, and they're not taking responsibility for their own health and well-being. that they get nervous when it looks like a change is about to happen, because they're saying, okay, if I put all my eggs in the basket of somebody else's and that egg gets moved, how do I know if it's going to crack? It might crack. And I don't know if I'm ready right now to give birth to a new me. I don't know if I'm ready to give birth to push out another egg. But we're all, you know, there's this fear of rebirth and this fear of death. And I'm not just even talking about death of leaving the body, but the death that happens while we're alive, dying to the old, it takes work. Sometimes it's messy. It is really, really messy. We've got to be willing to do the work. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Now, as we get, you know, we're getting closer to the end of the interview, but I want to ask you this. What do you think is the, what does the perfect politics or perfect political party, what does that look like? You know, with the, I guess even look asking you the vision, because you've written a book, Open Your American Heart, From Personal Responsibility to Collective Accountability. What's the vision that you have that when we are able to open our heart and taking care of our own health and well-being and we can step in, what would that look like? What kind of thing do you see happening?
Okay, so let me start by saying that the work is to be able to see perfection in every moment. So my work right now is to be able to see perfection in what we are experiencing right now. In this moment, it is perfect. In this moment, it is perfect. So here's the beauty about, for me, in my perspective, here's the beauty of America. Every 4 years, we have political campaigns for presidency. No one is murdered. No bombs are exploding. People get to go into their booths and vote, and whoever we elect, and then whoever the Electoral College says will be president.
I know that's right. But go ahead. That's a whole different
Let's
show. Go ahead.
All right. But that is, it is, there is a level of perfection in that. We have, we are evolving. We are getting better. And so the opportunity is to see perfection all the time and to envision perfection right now. The way it is, I call it perfect. The way it is, I call it perfect. And How then can it be more perfect? How then can, because we are forever evolving. Like you said, like every day we die to the old and we are born again to the new. So our world is changing. It's clear that our world is changing. America is changing. In the next decade, white people will be outnumbered. White people have ran this nation for, you know, centuries. And white people are now going to be outnumbered. So there will be more Hispanics, more Asian people, more women. There are more women who vote in the electorate than men. So that's these are all new things. So our nation is changing. And the question is, how do we participate in that change so that our voices are heard and so that we can create a greater, a more perfect vision, a more perfect nation? Now, in my view, a more perfect nation really looks like the incorporation of all people, the inclusion of all people.
Yes.
So that gay people have the same rights that straight people do, so that when their spouses die or they, you know, divorce or whatever, that they have equal rights under the law just as heterosexual people do. That their unions are protected just like heterosexual unions are protected. So that we have humane immigration policies, policies that aren't just saying, you know, go back to where you came from. To understand that I live in California. California, the people who pick the strawberries that I eat every day have probably come from across the border. I love those strawberries. When I eat those strawberries, I bless the hands that pick them. When my son, I'm grateful to really understand how we are all a part of the same system and we are all very necessary and need to be created humanely and have laws that really support the well-being of people. So we are getting there. We are in that process of moving there. And the work is to hold the vision. Because right now it looks really messy. It doesn't look perfect, but it is perfect. But we hold the vision. So we have an idea of what we want, how we want it to look. And we keep that. We keep the end in mind as we are in the mess.
That's right.
Very chaotic. Don't get too distracted by what we are experiencing right now. Do our best to be neutral. Like, so all this stuff that we have going on now with, you know, if the country's going to go to hell in a handbasket and if Mitt Romney, try our best to be neutral around that, because all of this, it comes to pass. It came so it can pass. None of this will be happening. And just like 4 years ago, we were all singing Kumbaya, and we thought just because there was a black man, we were going to, you know, now the world was going to change. Well, guess what? That's over, and look at where we are today.
Exactly. Yes.
So it comes to pass. So this is going to pass. This is not going to stay here forever. And something else will show up. Now, we will create the something else out of what we think about this experience now. If we think this is perfect, then we can create a more perfect experience. But we've got to hold the vision. We've got to do the spiritual inner work for what we want to see. The same thing, the same way we manifest in our own lives, if we want a new car or a spouse or a new body, we see it. You know, what do I want to look like? What kind of house do I want to live in? Let me put a picture up. It's the same thing we do for our nation. It's no different. Because we are as vital a part of that creation as we are for our own daily lives.
I know that's right. I know that is so true. I mean, I just love the perspective you bring into it, because we can have that conversation with that. I really believe that those that are having this conversation are people that are doing the work. Some people just want to hold on to the blame, the judgment, the criticism. And I want to hear your thoughts about, you know, what happens on social media, because it just amazes me. I mean, now I have my own reactions. Not that I don't have my, I have my own resistance. I have my own thoughts, but I'm just like, no, it doesn't belong on social media. Now I have a few friends that I might talk about what I'm feeling with, but I also understand that's my stuff. It's not judging anybody. It's my stuff. Why do you think, what is causing the pain that people are feeling, that they literally need an outlet to put it and then defend one another or behead their friends, so to speak? It's like, I'm unfriending you. I used to follow you, or don't bring politics into this. I mean, sometimes you put a picture on Facebook and the conversation just goes all the way down. It's like, how do we even get here? What do you think that what's happening in people that they feel so much pain and disgust that they just have to project it out to the rest of the world?
You know, I mean, there are so many things, but and let me say that I have that stuff going on too. Like, I am not free of those sort of things. I was just in a conversation this morning on Facebook with a man friend of mine on Facebook who was talking about the intellectual perspective of rape and the issue of rape and abortion. And me and a couple of other women were saying, there's nothing intellectual about it at all when a woman has been raped. And you cannot, we are offering that you don't approach it from an intellectual perspective, but approach it from a space of compassion. And what I finally said to him is, you have no idea what it's like to have someone, you know, take all your choices away. First they rape you, and then the government takes your choice away to be able to say how you will live with that rape, if you should you be pregnant. But so I get heated and all those sort of things. But what I eventually did was I said to him, my offering is that, can we have this conversation with compassion? And can we have this conversation with your understanding that you have never been raped? And you have never been pregnant from a rape. That is not your experience at all. So based on that, how are you willing to be in this conversation with me and these other women? So it really is about choosing in the moment to be, you know, to be loving, to be compassionate. And when we get angry, because we do, take responsibility for the anger. Like, just take responsibility for it. You know, it's, you know, so many of us don't have voices in so many other areas of our lives that social media has given us the permission to act like, you know, to act
professionals, experts.
Right, exactly. And to act in a way that we wouldn't necessarily do if that person was right before us. Like, there is
an
anonymity in it. There is a, right. And so so we almost feel like we have a get-out-of-jail-free card. We can just do whatever we want because we can say whatever we want without, you know, you're not going to get a parking ticket. You're not going to have to spend any money. Like, it's not going to cost you anything that you can see. But it really does, you know, everything is energetic vibration. And my belief is that energy goes out and energy comes back. So
I
do my best to be mindful of what I put out there. But this is a heated discussion, this politics, and I feel like it has so much to do, it has as much and more to do with where we are on the planet. Like the planet is just shifting. You have the Middle East coming undone. People are waking up to who they are, to who they are at their core. They're not willing to be oppressed any longer. You have women waking up saying, I will not adhere to the rules of men. The world is coming into a new way of being. It's happening everywhere. And this political conversation is a part of that. So people are... there's something going on inside of us. There's an earthquake happening. And people are at the effect of it, and most of us are, but those of us who are in our spiritual work are not as, possibly not as reactive, is what I should say.
Right.
They're not as reactive.
Right, right. I mean, for me, it's interesting that we've got to a place that we're so disconnected. That somebody who's never been pregnant, somebody who's never been raped, I can't imagine somebody who's been raped to really come up and say, well, let's intellectualize this. Because when you're being raped, it's not an intellectual thing. It's an emotional thing. It's your your essence. It's your nature. Your life is being altered. You know, we can look at it from any perspective, but there's a shift going on that the person has to deal with for the rest of their lives. I mean, they're men who are raped. It's not just female. But to actually just think that's something that could be debated, I would like to know if anybody just justify the whole thing about rape. Like, well, you know, whatever, some of it, what is it, intended or whatever the language they use, whatever it is. I mean, rape is rape. Oh, okay, I'm not even going to go off on a tangent. But the thing I will say is, you know, there's enough of that going on. But what I would say to people who want to defend life is, if life is sacred, well, let your actions demonstrate that, and not just when it's a fetus, but when you're dealing with adults. When you're dealing with a man, when you're dealing with a woman, you know, when we're sentencing people to death, if life is sacred, when does it stop being sacred? It's got to go across the board from beginning to end. That's how we, you know, we got to go all the way. But anyway, let's talk about love and politics. Does love really, this is where we're going to leave it, you know, does love really belong in politics? Come on, Monique, you have a chapter on love, about politics. You were good until, you know, it's like, come on now, love and politics? Come on, girl, you live in La La Land.
Well,
said, yeah, I live in Los Angeles, but...
I do live in Los Angeles. I would say that, you know, love is in everything. Like, the reason people are so passionate about this issue is really because, you know, there is a lot of love and passion for what people believe in. People believe wholeheartedly, just as much as I believe in a woman's right to choose, there is another human being who is as passionate and as dedicated to pro-life. And they have every right to be that way. And in that, you know, for them, I would imagine that there is this idea of loving all of life. Like you said, hopefully it's all of life. And for me, I love choice. I love choosing. I love that everybody gets the opportunity to choose. And I also love this country. I have not, before President Barack Obama, I had not loved this country the way that I really love it now. And I, because for the first time, I was able to see where I was hiding because I was black, where I was really putting myself in the shadows because there was a belief system inside of me that said I was inadequate, I wasn't enough, and I could never really fulfill my dreams because I was a black person and or person of African descent. And when President Barack Obama took the oath of office, all of that died in an instant. Mm-hmm. All of those beliefs went to hell for me, and they were gone. And so I realized my love for myself and this nation in a way that I had never had before. So I love this country, and I love the citizens of this country, and I love who we are and what we do, and I love our president, and I will love our next president. Because that is the nature of how God created me. God created me to love and to be an expression of love. And that love doesn't die in the face of it. I mean, I have experienced horrible atrocities in my life. And one of the things that I have learned recently about those experiences is that they deepen my ability to love. They widen my ability to love. And it's just the very nature of who I am. I believe it's the nature of who we all are. So that is why I have a chapter on love.
What can I say to that? You summed it all up nicely. I am so grateful for you. I'm grateful for your work. I'm grateful that you said yes to who you are, to your gifts, and being a different voice and taking personal responsibility to be a catalyst for us in how we move about collective accountability, you know, encouraging us to open our heart, and even if it seems unpopular. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Before we let you go, anything else you want to share with our listeners? Where can we find you? What do you need us to know? What are you up to?
Well, you can find me. You can find my blogs at the Huffington Post. My website is MoniqueRuffin.com, and you can email me there if you have any questions. And you can find my book. It's an e-book, and you can find it on any e-reader. But I just would like to say and encourage everyone here to recognize that we are all here for this perfect season. And what looks like combat right now in our political experience is exactly what we need to grow. It is exactly, if you remember the civil rights movement and if you have visions of people, black people being pushed down by water hoses and dogs going after them and police and battery, or visions of men and women and children hanging from trees, you know, after being lynched. Like all of that, we are building on all of that, and who we are today is a result of those experiences. So just like that looked horrific, and it was, and it was tragic, but we have come out of it and we are here today, so too will we come out of this. So keep your heart open. Do not restrict and resist, and open yourself up to the possibility of what is being birthed now, because you are a part of that. You are a midwife, or you are in labor, and you are birthing our next reality. So please, please, please stay open to the truth of who you are and participate. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. I am just so grateful for you and grateful that we connected to have this conversation, because it fills my heart. It makes me feel hopeful, and I know good is already happening, and to have this conversation, it's just, I'm just grateful. I am so grateful. Thank you, my sister. I really appreciate you, and I look forward to continuing the conversation with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I look forward to being with you again. Thank you. Bye, Celeste.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Life is good. It's getting better and better and better. That's right. I said better. And if you don't believe it, open your American heart. Open your heart. That's where the good is. The good of God is who you are. The good of God lives in you. It's time for you to release that inner splendor. If there ever was a time for us to know who you are, to experience your gift, your package that you're here to deliver, to let us know your assignment, your mission for being on this planet, this is the time. Like Monique said, I totally agree. We are all going through and growing through the labor pain. We're giving birth to a new life, a new idea, a new reality. Now you can choose not to breathe in and out, to complain or keep your legs together. It doesn't stop movement. It's just a lot easier when you just open up wide and just breathe and let the birthing of a new reality show up. We need each other. We need each other. I don't care what you say. We need each other. But the most important thing that Monique mentioned, and I have to say, is to know, to remind ourselves that no matter who is in office next year, no matter who wins the election this year, it's going to be all right. Not just all right. All of it is going to be right. All of it is going to be good because it is good. And if you don't believe it, if you're not experiencing good, that's just an indicator. That's just a reminder for you to do your work. It's a reminder to all the stuff that's going on. I mean, just make a choice not to listen to it. First of all, that's what I do because I get triggered so intently. You know me, guys. I get caught up in whatever things I believe in. I just don't watch it. I don't listen to conversation about the radio or the TV shows that are talking about the Democrats and supporting Democrats. I have a brother who listens to the other folks. And when he listens to other folks and we're in the same space, I listen to something else and turn the music. I don't want to hear it. Yeah, you could call it put my head in sand. No. In that moment, I am recognizing, I'm reminding myself it's going to be okay rather than listen to people tell me why, whatever, negative conversation they're having. I don't need to engage in that. I am focusing on the good. I'm focusing on the love. And each and every one of us need to do that. You know, ultimately, why are we doing that? It's for your own good, because whatever you focus on, you're going to create more of. So you want to check your intention. You want to check what's the catalyst for your life. What's moving you forward? What's the vision for your life? When you get involved in debates, are you trying to be right? Are you trying to convince somebody? Are you trying to justify what happened in the past? Or maybe you're in pain. We all have a choice, you know. But the key is to trust love. To trust love. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. I'll be back here tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. Wow. Yes. Remember this. Being on this planet, life is not for wimps. If you're alive, understand that you're an amazing human being. That you're powerful. No matter what is going on in your world, this thing called Earth is not for wimps. So much. We are soul in a body, but when the soul in the body goes through a lot, it is challenging on this planet. Let's tell the truth. But you can breathe out and relax when you trust love. When you remember to be the love, because it's the essence of who you really are. And when you're being the love, you can be true to yourself. That is an act of loving. Being true to yourself is an act of love. And so it's not just about loving self. But you got to allow the love to come in. You got to allow the love to flow in and out of you. You got to be loved. You got to allow other people to give to you, to share their points of view. That's right. The love is everywhere. In the White House and your house. In America and the rest of the world, the love of God is the only thing that's real. So you either embrace in love or you sleep in with fear. You get to choose.
You can't sleep with both of them together. They're like, ah, because when you're hanging out with fear, you can't experience love. When you're hanging out with love, you don't even know what fear is. Why not trust love? We always trust in something. Get in bed with love and give birth to more love. I'm out of here. The spirituality of politics. It's all about love. Ricky Byers Beckwith, WeLetItBe.com. Trust love. Love is everywhere. Love is you. Love is Mitt Romney. Love is Barack Obama and all the other folks. And even folks that are confused about them being love. Even people who are confused who are saying they have a hateful organization and they say they're about love. It's all love. It is. There might be some confusion of what love is, but love is everywhere. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings.
Love is something that will not ever fail. Love is the essence of the spirit. That is known by keep on being love. This is the holy way. So trust love. Trust love. Trust God. That love is everywhere. That we
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.